Welcome to Energy in Action. I'm your host, Marcy Young, and as a Mito patient myself, I appreciate you and the community you've helped us to build. This podcast honors the triumphs and struggles of patients and families affected by this disease and celebrates the work being done by doctors and researchers every day to make it a safer world for our people. We are a support group and a podcast focusing on all things related to mitochondrial disease. Today, I am joined by a very friendly, familiar voice, Stephanie Harry of MitoAction. She is here today to talk about an upcoming FAOD conference that is all virtual. So if you're listening and you have an FAOD condition or someone in your family does or someone you love does, this conference is available to you. It's accessible and you can learn and benefit so much from it. You know, I love MitoAction because there's programming in all different aspects of this disease. And, you know, my condition is not an FAOD condition, so I'm not super familiar with this conference and I'm not planning to attend, but I'm really looking forward to hearing what Stephanie has to tell us about it.
Thank you so much, Marcy. I'm so excited to be here and talk a little bit about the conference today because I think that I might be quoting this wrong. I feel like we're on year six of MitoAction doing this. And if I'm wrong with that, I apologize.
That could be right because you started it during COVID.
Yeah. And that's kind of where I thought maybe we could start this conversation a little bit is just how.
Like how it started?
Yeah.
Let's do it.
So when COVID hit, I mean, I was not even aware that MitoAction, I wasn't even aware of MitoAction and who MitoAction was. I was a potter and raising a kid with a fatty acid oxidation disorder and trying to learn more about what that means. I spent a lot of time in medical literature just because apparently my science side of the brain worked and I didn't realize that until I had a kid with a rare disease. But I always thought it was a great way just to, you know, be better prepared for him as a parent, but also to engage clinicians. And so this is just, it's just kind of what I did. And then I also worked with legislative advocacy. And so I was in the space of the FAOD world and doing different things, but not necessarily with a particular organization. And I heard about the conference that they were doing virtually because the pandemic had hit, and I was curious, and then I saw names that I recognized, like Dr. Vockley was speaking and Dr. Gillingham was speaking. And then there were some other dietitians that I was unaware of. There's a dietitian in Calcar. And so anyways, so I went and I was like, this is absolutely amazing that they were able to do this and talk about different topics. And I knew a number of the patients who were on the panel. And so I had reached out to Kyra and said, hey, I would love to be able to help with this next go around. And right, the pandemic lasted for quite some time, longer than any of us would have expected. And so the next year, we did another virtual because patients were still needing to, you know, remain safe and not be in large group gatherings. And what I loved about that process, and again, at that time, it was all volunteer stuff from my standpoint, but Kyra had formed a committee of patients. And the conference still works like that. So it's not that just MitoAction decides what the topics are and moves forward with that. But we, every year, we have a committee of parents and patients that meet and talk about, okay, what are you hearing in the community? What are your questions? What are outstanding questions? What are myths that are being posted on Facebook about, you know, like what are people curious about? And from that, and what are your experiences? And from that, we try to cultivate different topics and ideas. And then from that, we try to figure out, okay, who would be the best clinician to reach out to? And some of that comes from clinicians we've met or clinicians that the committee might have connections with because of their clinics. And sometimes that comes through medical journal articles that maybe I've read and I just reach out to a scientist. I'm like, are you willing to talk about this? So it really, but it's what I love about the committee format and how we handle that is it really is it's like a beautiful flower that grows and changes. Because if the conference was just about me and my ideas, right, it would be something. But to me, it's so much more rich because you have all of these different people's experiences and wisdom that's adding to it. And a good example of that was this year when we were planning the conference. Originally, we were thinking, okay, it's going to be 2 days, you know, July 25th and 26th. But the committee members were, you know, honest and said, that's exhausting to have 2 full days of lectures. That's just a lot. And one of the things that we've really enjoyed about the in-person spaces is just the ability to connect with each other, to have casual conversation. And if you have a long day of lectures, you don't really have that flexibility to have that or the energy to have that, whether you're the patient or the caregiver, right? Because either way, you're juggling a lot. And so
mentally and physically, you're just done.
Yeah, you're done. Yeah. And then how much information you're absorbing, right? And so,
right.
So it was suggested, like, what if we have pre-conference sessions where we have a singular either roundtable discussion or a presentation every single day, the day before the conference, to kind of space things out. And then on the conference, quote unquote, days, they're shortened, right? Like maybe it's just 4 or 5 hours long instead of, you know, 8 in the morning till 6 at night, you know, with a 1 hour break in between. And that's brilliant. Like, I love that that was thrown out and that we could metamorphose and try to make that happen this year. And so that's one of the structural things that we tried to implement this year.
So officially, what are the dates for the conference?
Yeah, so our pre-session starts July 19th, and our July 19th session starts at 3 p.m., and it's called Breaking Down FAODs, MCAD, LCHAD, CPT2, VLCAD, and more, because there's more FAODs than just that. And Lauren O'Grady, who is an amazing genetic counselor, and she's one of our Mito Champion genetic counselors, she is going to be there, and she's going to do a presentation, just trying to give people a great overview of what these different conditions are, how they're similar, how they're different, because there are a lot of differences even with the FAOD community with treatment, how it looks. And a lot of times it can be confusing when you're new, or even if you're not new to this space,
right,
to be like, okay, I have LCHAD and my friend has MCAD. Why am I taking MCT oil or Dojolvi? And my friend, like, that would be toxic to their system. Or why can MCADers have so much fat, more fat, right, than I can as an LCHADer? This came up a lot with our teens in our in-person conference. They were asking these really important questions, but it's not just teens that have those questions. Parents, we have those questions too, because it may or may not get covered in clinic, because there's so much that's covered in clinic, right? So I'm super excited that July 19th, we'll start off with that. And then that's a Sunday. And then the heavy duty conference stuff starts July 25th and 26th. In between, every day, I encourage you to go on our website and look at the schedule, because you might not want to come every day that week to what we have prepared, but there are definitely roundtables that you're going to want to plug into no matter where you're at in your journey with FAODs. Sunday, we actually have a roundtable that many of our Mito community might want to attend. Karen Rickman is leading a topic, You're Not Alone, undiagnosed community roundtable. So if you're still in the undiagnosed space, you don't know if you fit into the FAOD world or the Mito world or what world you fit
in. And things she says are going to resonate with people outside of FAOD.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, and I would say some of these other roundtables too can have overlap with the Mito community, even though it's more geared towards FAODs. I think, you know, Tasia Wachowski, and Sharika, who people have heard on this call before, and there's another woman, Daisy, who's attended our conferences in person, they're going to lead a roundtable on maintaining mental health through different waves
so
of your
important.
FAOD.
Yeah. So it does bleed over outside of FAOD for sure. And honestly, I talk about that a lot in the podcast or you know, even with our editor, that like this particular episode, or, you know, not this one specifically, but sometimes we do episodes and they're just as beneficial to someone in the rare disease community that doesn't even have Mito, you know, as it is for someone in our Mito community, you know? So it's important, you know, and maybe even share the information about the conference with others, or at least those specific sessions. That would be wonderful and so kind.
Well, and I think sometimes, to me, the beautiful thing about conferences is it gets your brain asking different questions.
For
and sometimes
sure.
you
For
need
sure.
to go a little yeah. bit outside of your community where there's enough overlap, maybe, that when you go to your next clinical appointment, that you're asking just a little bit different questions.
Yeah.
And the way I have always approached Christopher's care is, you know, I ask a lot of questions and I love it.
So do I.
I know. And, you know, I'll never forget his first dietitian. She was, her name was Kristen Narlow. Shout out if you're listening, Kristen. But she,
I hope she is.
She, you know, would go into clinic with my questions. She's like, oh, Mrs. Harry. Like, you know, and it was so kind and genuine. And what I always said is I don't expect to ask the right questions, but I'm hoping I'll ask a different kind of question to get you guys thinking in a different kind of way that will tweak his care. And I think in some ways, this conference can be that for patients.
It's a jumpstart.
Like,
yeah.
Yeah. That jumpstarts maybe a different type of question process that they hadn't considered before. Mm-hmm. Or maybe they hadn't considered, you know, the fatty acid oxidation pathway, right? Like fatty acid oxidation pathway happens with inside of the mitochondria. So for many years, fatty acid oxidation disorders were considered more metabolic conditions than necessarily mitochondrial conditions. And they have slowly grown closer and closer together. Dr. McGuire would consider them cousins of each other, right? 10 years from now, they might be in because it's a condition that happens inside of the mitochondria. There's so mm-hmm. much overlap. That's how they ended up becoming involved in the mitoaction space. Is Dr. Vockley was like, look, they are so close. They happen inside of the mitochondria. Why are we not having these conversations? And that's how they landed here. But I think that's I hope that's a good visual picture to help people understand as to, you know, even if you have a different form of mitochondrial disease, thinking about this pathway could lead to some interesting questions, right?
For sure. Yeah. I agree with you. When I attend a conference or listen to a seminar, anything about the disease or even parenting or, you know, anything, I get out a blank notebook and a pen and I keep my head down and I really try to open my mind to whatever I'm listening to, you know, and it gives me the space to do that, especially if I plan a little bit like, okay, this is the day that I'm doing this. And I want to remind everyone that it is not too late to register, correct?
Yes.
So if I want to be a part of this, what do I do online?
Yeah, no, that's a good question. Yeah. So if you go to our main webpage, like the first thing that you're going to see right now is about the conference because we're heavily promoting it, and just click register. And this is free. It's free to parents and patients and friends of, you know, people with this condition or any kind of condition that would like to attend. It's free for students and fellows and genetic counselors.
Wow.
Yeah. And
so
if you're a clinician listening to this, we ask for a small donation. I mean, it's like $25 because the platform does cost money, right? So we have to.
Yeah.
But I'm still like, I'm hoping that it'll be a large, wide community that comes because everybody will be able to get something different out of it. But yes, you can register like register now. It's not too late. You just go on. It takes 5 minutes and then it'll set you up. You can choose which sessions you want to attend, you know, and think through that. And if you have questions, you know, feel free to shoot me an email, sharry@mitoaction.org. And I'm more than willing to help answer any questions that you have.
Will there be opportunity to, you know, if I'm a mom of a child with MCAD, you know, like, will I be able to converse and connect with others?
Yeah, so that's really like what our roundtable.
Those are the roundtables.
So the roundtables are not presentation oriented. The roundtables are topical discussions, and they are led typically by patients and or their caregivers. And so you mentioned MCAD, for example. We have a roundtable led by Kay Kelly, whose son has MCAD, and she actually wrote Max the Monkey Has MCAD. She wrote that children's book. And that roundtable discussion is July 21st, and it's all things MCAD. And so, you know, each one of those roundtables, like there's a topic, and that's a great way to pop on a Zoom call, connect with other parents. Now, during the conference, there will be a chat feature, and you can chat back and forth with people and get to know people that way and ask questions. So I think sometimes the scary things about virtual and in person, they both have pros and cons, right? Yes. So the pro about having it virtual this year is that you can come, you don't have to like pay for a hotel. It's free, you know, you're getting great information. There is ways to connect with other families, hoping that new people will get involved that maybe financially didn't feel like they could come before or just wasn't sure like what it would be like. And so, but the con is that sometimes with virtual events, people plan other things during that week or the day and they're like, oh, I'll watch the recording later, you know, we'll connect. But then you miss out
on the personal connection. Yeah.
And you miss out on the Q&A, which to me is huge.
Yeah.
So like attending one of the sessions and being there is important to be there in real time because you can ask your questions and there is no stupid question to be asked. But you can take that time and ask your question, whereas after the fact, you might have three or four questions and they may or may not have been asked and we may or may not have known that it was an important question to ask. Because, you know, whoever was there didn't ask that question.
It's a learning experience for everyone.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. So I encourage people to sign up and try to come to anything that you can. Yeah. And with the round tables, if you think, you know, I'm pretty good with that. Well, if you're pretty good with that, please come to the round table because you can share your wisdom. And that's so important.
And you benefit too when you share what you have to offer with others. And you might not be able to recognize that before it happens, but during it and after, you realize in some different ways how you've made an impact on others and how it makes an impact on you too, you know? And maybe you end up with a group chat after with a couple people that you can really easily connect with. You know, maybe you have some similar life challenges, et cetera. And that can be huge in the daily life of someone struggling with rare disease, you know?
You mentioned the group chat. I mean, these group chats, I think, are lifesavers to both FAOD and MITO communities because Facebook has its purpose and its space, right? But but those group chats that develop when you've met a person or you've had a very direct conversation can be such a lifeline, you know, during crisis or just in the daily grind of, you know, Sharika and I laugh because we met when Kanan was small and there are days that she'll call me and be like, I cannot calculate the fact. Can you just do it for me? Like, and I'm like, oh, absolutely. And that, you know, but you need that. You need that backup if you're a patient or a parent.
Right.
There are some days you just don't feel like calculating the fat. And maybe you can't call your dietitian because it's 8 o'clock at night or but you can call a friend and say, hey, can you count this for me?
And the next time your brain is off, she'll do it for you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's what community is about.
Right. Right. So this podcast is airing early July. So there's still time to make plans to attend as much as you can. And all you have to do is register online and then you get the opportunity. Well, you get a link. How does that work once you register?
Yeah. Yeah. So the platform I will say is a little bit different than Zoom. It will look very similar to Zoom, but you'll get a link and you'll be able to go into a virtual space and you'll be able to, we have a couple sponsors and some resources that they have. And so you'll be able to see these virtual booths, but then you'll be able to save in your calendar and the different events that are going on and be able to kind of click on those events when they happen in real time. So I'm not great with technology. So like I feel for people that anybody that's kind of, but know that we're here to help with that. So if you have questions, if you get in there and you're feeling a little trepidatious about how do I navigate this, reach out to us, because if I can figure it out, anyone can figure it out.
Well, I hope that our listeners have found this episode to be beneficial. It's not the longest episode we've done. It's not as teary or emotional, but it is really important. And this is such great work that our FAOD community has done between the patients, the clinicians, Stephanie, you know, and I thank everyone for all of their really hard work on putting this together. It's a beautiful, you know, project and can create so much benefit for our community.
I just want to share, if it's okay, I just want to share a couple, like highlight a couple of the topics that are going
to
be.
I would love for you to.
Yeah. So we have these roundtables, right, that are happening throughout the week, but we also have a couple presentations. We have that presentation by Lauren, which is going to kick us off, but then we have a presentation on July 21st. It's at noon. It's called Navigating the Medical System as an FAOD Adult, Exploring the Unknown, and Dr. Pritchard and Dr. Gold are going to be joining us for that. And these are two amazing clinicians, one out of Michigan and one out of Northwell Health, who are really good at thinking outside of the box. And for our older adults, patients, like, that's super important, because, you know, the adult patients are creating the literature and the young adult patients are creating the literature, and that further helps clinicians to know how to treat younger patients. And I think for me too, as a parent, when Christopher was small, it was helpful to hear some of these conversations going on. So I'm thinking long game, and also to hear and prepare for what potential challenges could exist and see growth. I mean, when Christopher was small, there, when we left his first genetics appointment, I was given a singular one pager to explain his condition, because that's what existed, you know, and so much has changed since then. And so I hope that, you know, younger families as well as older families will attend that particular session, because they can see what a starting point is and like recognize there'll be a lot of growth by the time their, you know, young one grows into the adult world that is what the adults are experiencing now. But for adult patients, you know, they need spaces to feel supported and be able to hear from clinicians thinking outside of the box. So I'm super excited for that presentation. And then all the presentations are good. So if I don't mention your roundtable presentation, you're listening to this, don't think I'm sliding, because whether you're talking about navigating school life or romantic relationships with an FAOD.
These are all important. Yeah.
These are all important. And, you know, the cool thing about this conference is that because it's virtual, we've been able to pull in clinicians from all over the world. So,
that's a good point.
Yeah.
So you're not asking them to commit to being in a certain city at a certain time.
Absolutely. So, we have Dr. Daniela Krell, who is from Austria, who's going to be talking about the informed guidelines for FAODs that they've been working on for quite some time. And Sarah Grenard is from Germany, and she's going to talk about pregnancies and women with long-chain fatty acid oxidation disorders. And both of these papers, the pregnancy one was just recently published. So this is very, like, new information. Yeah. And so I'm so excited that our community gets to experience that in real time and have access to these clinicians and ask questions in real time in regards to as this literature is coming out into our community. And Dr. Gillingham, there's three different clinicians that are coming and talking about emerging genetic therapies for FAODs. There is a doctor out of Duke, and then Dr. Gillingham and Dr. Vockley. And that's going to be an hour and a half long talking about things like gene therapy and where is it really at? Because there's a lot of buzz, there's a lot of talk, and then, you know, some misinformation that gets kind of shared. And so there'll be time to kind of break that down, dispel some myths, but also there's a lot of hope with the work that they're doing out of Duke, and they really want patient feedback. And so it's going to be a fun time to learn. And then we'll have our family and patient panel. So you'll get to hear from the wisdom of, you know, your community, your peers, and ask them questions. And how did you deal with this? And what do you think about this? And that's always like a fun space to share wisdom. Mm-hmm. And that's just Saturday. That's not even like the Sunday part where we have a physical therapist coming in to talk about alternate physical therapy strategies.
Oh.
And that is definitely an overlap with our
Maybe
Mito space.
Maybe I'll have my physical therapist listen.
Yeah. No. So, I mean, I think that there's therapies that could be considered for both spaces. So, you know, figure out like where you want to plug into. And we bring in another colleague who is from the Netherlands. So again, this goes back to, I just love the international collaboration that we're able to kind of pull together because it's virtual. So I do think that, you know, one of the things that we might miss a little bit this year about not being in person is being able to touch and like hug and, you know, watching the kids connect and such. There's a teen group. So, you know, throw out there too, if you have a teen or you are a teen with an FAOD, make sure you join the teen roundtables that are happening throughout the week, because the teens that have gone to the in-person conference have this really beautiful connection with each other. A number of them will be on there and will bring you into that fold in a beautiful way, you know? And so I think that there are absolutely things that we'll miss about not being in person this year, but really beautiful things that will grow out of being virtual.
So. Yeah. As you said earlier, there's benefits to both. Mm-hmm. And so the information is probably at a greater depth because you can be speaking to these clinicians from around the world. And on another year, the benefits will be more, you know, if you choose to do it in person in the future, the connection of being together, you know. But I do think we've come so far in our society that we all really know how to benefit socially and emotionally from these types of platforms virtually, you know. I always say, Stephanie and I have never met, but I feel closer to Stephanie than so many people in my life. But and sometimes I forget I've never met her. So if I meet her, but I've seen her face, you know, we're looking at each other right now.
Yeah.
I wonder if I'd even, because I'm so ingrained in doing things virtually, would I even realize when I do meet her that I had never met her yet? deep thoughts.
I love it.
Well, on that note, thank you for getting us all prepared for this conference. And if any of this relates to you, please go on the Mito Action website and make arrangements in your schedule to attend some of these sessions and make sure to register. And if you have any questions about the tech, don't be nervous. Just reach out. Stephanie and the others from Mito Action are here to help. Thank you so much for being here, Stephanie. I really appreciate it. I hope everything goes well in July at the conference, and I will be talking to you soon.
Lovely. Thanks so much, Marcy. I appreciate you.
Thank you for joining us. I encourage you to browse other Energy in Action podcast episodes. I am so inspired by the resilience of those in previous episodes, and I know you will be too.